or praise the Lord. Everybody say with me, worship. That's the number one reason why we come, is to worship God. Now, worshiping isn't just when we are singing with the band. That's a part of worship. Worship can start in your heart before you ever get here. I pray that it does. Because it's really hard to get the Model T going when it arrives dead. And believers ought to know this is a day set apart. We don't believe in the Sabbath, whether it's Sunday or Saturday, as a set apart day by the law. That is obsolete. I don't care who that offends, it is obsolete. Jesus, that was a picture of Jesus, our rest. He is the seventh day. He is perfection. Moving on from six foundations of Messiah into perfection number seven is Jesus. Jesus is our Sabbath. Our rest has come. Are you here today? That's why Psalms 23 says, He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He is the shepherd. He is our rest. How many are glad for our rest today? And so, but aren't you glad that we still set apart a time as a people? It could be Thursday, it could be Sunday works in America, and I'm glad that it does, because traditionally this was the Sabbath or Sunday. And I think it's sad, having said what I did in reference to the law being obsolete, I think it is a sign of America starting to fall apart at the seams when we honor no day set aside. Every day is the same day. Party hardy, work hard. No day is set aside. How many know that just because the law, in the context of the law, is obsolete in our relationship with God, how many know God set forth things in His Word that if we would follow them, we would be healthy, happier, stronger? How many know that even agricultural scientists tell you that if the soil, and this is a biblical mandate from God before they ever understood, if the soil is rested every seventh year, it does incredible things to the soil. If the body is rested every 7 days and set aside, it changes our whole week. Why not Sunday? How many know that our lungs, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Our lungs regenerate every 7 years. Lay claim. Boy, that just hit me. Lay claim. Aren't you glad for the seventh day? Jesus, our Messiah. He is our Sabbath. So, but when we come together as a body, then our number one purpose is to worship Him. It's not to receive the word. That's a part of it. But our coming together as a body, it's not to serve God. It's not to function against. It is to worship Him. How many know what the second reason scripturally is? What did you just say? Fellowship. You're exactly right. To build one another up. Before the word is preached, I want to invite you today. We've been talking a lot about a new law inside. The Holy Spirit now, who leads and guides us from within. No longer the bars and cages and fence and cords of the law, but now a law that is born of and functions in freedom, that is the Holy Spirit within saying, go this way, go that way, don't go there, stop there, move now, hold back. We sought to go up to Asia, but the Holy Spirit, Paul said, forbade us, so we stopped. How many know that we can walk? If we trust God, we can walk in a way that He leads us. And where does He lead us? He already said the Holy Spirit will lead you. He will guide you into all truth. For He is the Comforter, and He knows the way. How many glad for Jesus today? Three of you glad for Jesus. How many glad for Jesus today? Hallelujah. Okay, so our number two reason for coming together like this is exactly that. It is to fellowship, to build one another up. I want to invite you and encourage you today. Do you come to church because it's what you do? Do you come to church because you live generally down and you need a pickup? That's okay, but that's not living the best. The best is this, that you would begin to open the Word of God, that you would begin to live and breathe what it is that you're hearing, that you would meditate in it day and night. Because if you do, Psalms 1 tells us, you'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water. You'll bring forth fruit in season. Your leaf will not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. How many are interested in prospering? What about the rest of you interested in poverty? Then let me ask it again. Are you interested in prospering? Who prospers you? You or God? If it is God who prospers you, how many are interested in prospering? How many are interested in prospering? Beloved, I wish above all things. I wish above all things. My desire is, this is scripture. My desire, 3 John 2, my desire above all things is that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Pretty awesome. Okay, so number two in coming together is just that. Building. I want to challenge you today. Begin to change your mindset. Don't come to just get picked back up again. Long about, of course, it ought to be all week long. But long about Friday or Saturday, begin to practice the presence of God. Can you imagine what would happen in here is if individual people who have the Holy Spirit living within were excited about and preparing for and moving towards and saying, I'm making the decision. Lord, you lead me. I'm going to be a blessing to somebody in our congregation. Number one. Number two, I'm going to speak a positive word to them. And I'm going already in the worship mode. I'm not going to get there limping and lame and beat up. Now, if you do, that's what we're here for. I'm not making fun of that. I've come here to preach and felt like that before, so relax. But I'm saying that shouldn't be that way every week. We make a decision. I'm going, and I'm going to be, I'm kicking it off. I'm ready. When we get there, I'm worshiping. I've noticed that people that enter in and worship God, they could care less what the volume is. They could care less what song it is, what style it is, who's around them. They're just worshiping God. I got news for you. Heaven's going to be loud. There'll be some wonderful quiet places as well. Sally said, hallelujah. Oh, Sally. What a blessing and a support. And I'm not making fun of her. She knows that. Some of us have sensitive ears, and that's all there is to it. And I understand that. Which, by the way, she wasn't scowling or making faces. She was back there doing this. So I don't know if she had tissue in her ears or what was going on. She's always that way. Little side trip to bring the point across. Number one is to worship. Number two is to build one another up. Number three, a product of all that is our service. Now, my service this morning to God is functioning just like you in a gift. We come together. That third part takes place in that we break bread together. You know, everybody wants to have communion. I like having communion because of the pictures that it draws, but I want to show you a scripture, and I can show biblical precedence for this. Every time, now under the new covenant, that we walk in here with the Holy Ghost inside, blowing to the outside, gushing all over each other and around this room, drinking from the vine. That's what the Holy Spirit represents. He is the wine. And this is the bread. Every time we step in here, we open up a bottle of that which represents the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, wine that flows freely. The Holy Spirit. I'm glad for the anointing within and without. And bread that is broken. You want communion? Quit fighting over your religious tradition and just have communion. Worship God. Love one another. Break bread together. And grow. Come prepared. These are why we come. Isn't that amazing? If we just stop right now and just worship right now, all around the room, without a drum beat, without a bass drum, without any equipment, just forget about who's around you. Forget about, don't worry. Listen, if you've never been around this kind of stuff, nobody's looking at you anyway. So just worship God. If you're too shy to raise your hands, leave your hands in your lap. But let's worship Him for a minute. Jesus, we love You and we worship You. This is all it is. Jesus, we love You and we worship You. We honor You for who You are. We thank You for precious blood that You spilt for my salvation. Thank You for the precious Holy Spirit, that precious person, the third person of God, that now because of what You did makes it possible for God to live and dwell in me. What a miracle. Can you shout that out with me? What a miracle! How could the God who created all that we see live inside of me? Well, it's by the Holy Spirit. Thank You today that I have, according to Your word, according to Romans 5, I have access. Somebody shout access. I have access to God. Why are you standing on the outside? Access. We worship You today. Remember the story told years ago of the missionary that had to make a special return trip from across the seas, and this was back before airplanes, and he tells the true story. Got it in a missions book at home of how that he only had enough money for the boat fare. Nothing, no money for anything else. So he stocked up before he left. He took with him on the boat, you could get water freely, took with him crackers and cheese. And for 3 weeks, day in, day out, he rationed crackers and cheese. And every once in a while, he couldn't stand it anymore. He'd step out into whatever you call it, that hallway, make his way down to the big dining. You know how those boats were in those days. Make his way down, and you could hear, smell the food and hear the laughter and the tinkling of dishes and all of that going on, and the smell, he said, was overwhelming. He would walk, and he would peer inside just to see and make his way back, spend his time with the Lord, and eat his cheese and crackers. When New York was in sight, this is his own words, when New York was well in sight now, there rose a cheer. He went out to see what was going on, and one more time, he walked down through to where the dining hall was and stood at the double glass doors, peering through at all of it. And somebody spoke to him and said, "Kind sir," he says, "I've seen you now for days on end. Come down here and look in, but you never go in. Why?" He said, "Well, sir, I don't have the money. I only had the money for the boat fare." He said, "Sir, did you not know that all of this was included in your boat fare?" True story. He had access, but he didn't know it. What's worse is having access, knowing it, and not entering in. Could I encourage you today? Come on, all over the room, lift your hands one more time. We have access by precious blood. Woo! Hallelujah! Access by faith into this. I love. I mean, you couldn't have made a more. Is it the Holy Spirit or what? There could be no better place to drop that little word, grace. Access by faith in this grace. Undeserved. You feel undeserving today? Then you qualify. How many are glad for Jesus today? Now, while I'm on the subject of talking about why we're here, you've probably noticed that I do not put, I'm not saying that I never will, or that there's not a place for it, or that we will change, but for years now, and I don't feel led to do it any differently. And I pray that you will hook up and understand why. I was raised. I functioned this way. I spent a number of years with my parents and then afterwards as a married man with my wife on the mission field. I've stood and on platforms that there were a few hundred people in the street, and I've also stood on platforms with over 10,000. I've watched God do miracles. You've heard me tell the stories. We would have miracle lines, prayer lines. We would preach the word and people would respond to the word and we would give an invitation. We saw this really crescendo in the 80s and in the 90s. We went through all the, you know, what was originally a work of God where people literally fell out under the power. My dad made fun of it and said, I accept all this spirit-filled stuff, but that falling out under the power stuff, that's fake. And God knocked him on his fanny. I was there when it happened. But then, men as men are, got to take something that God does, build a fence around it and say he has to move this way every time. And after a while, it becomes a mockery. It happens over and over again. Laughter. The prophetic. All of them legitimate, all of them needful. We need all of these in the body. But we watched as little by little, and it's been something that's always been that way, the emphasis was on a man up there with a special anointing. And there are special anointings, by the way, in you as well as up here. And it became more of a, everybody came for the purpose of getting a need met through a special anointing, and it's all about healing lines and prayer lines. Every service, I want you to know that we will continue to worship. I will remain up here with a few others. We believe the Word of God. We've watched God do some pretty incredible things. I've watched God over the last 6 months do things that I can't in people that are miraculous, that I can't share with the body. So much for parading people and championing the wonderful works that we're doing for God, because these are intimate, vital changes in people's lives that stay there. We get off track. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a place for that. I was that. I may be that in the future. I say I humbly, I mean as leading in what we're doing. But my emphasis is not the whole service being built around trying to get somebody moved enough in their emotions to come up and make me look good because we had a great response. Sorry. My desire is that if I can unveil Jesus to you every week, you'll have less and less need for a prayer line. You will be the prayer line for somebody else. Not saying this isn't, there's not a place for this. That's why we remain. But it's not our big emphasis. But I also want you to realize that we do take that time serious. We are here for you, whether you've been here 100 years or 2 hours this morning for the first time. We're here because we believe what Jesus said. Jesus said, if any two of you should agree. This is found in Matthew 18:18-19, where he talks about where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is. And that if any of two of you should agree concerning a matter, it shall be done. We believe the scripture that we mentioned a little bit ago. They that believe in my name will cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. Then he goes and talks about all of the ways that the enemy will tempt to get at us and how that we have power over. They drink and eat anything and will not harm. Take up servants and not harm. On and on and on. Gets down to the very end, it says, lay hands, last order. That doesn't mean last in importance. It's, and by the way, here's the big one. You'll lay loving hands on loved people. This isn't zap. This this is an expression. Come on, how many can do what Scripture says that every believer should be able to do? Lift up holy hands without doubting or wrath. So this is laying loving hands. Now, if you're angry, bitter, it's going to be hard for you to do this. Please don't. Get over into grace. Get out of condemnation. Get away from the law. The law is making you an angry person and comparing yourself with others and comparing others to others. Get out of it. Get over into Jesus and you can lay loving hands on loved people and expect that God will do something. God's messing up his hair. That's why I love Daryl. He's Johnny on the spot. He says, enjoy it while you got it. You're building him up. Is that what you're doing? So our major emphasis is not to just work us into a frenzy so that we can have a prayer line. I worship when I preach. Have you noticed? I worship when I pray. Worship when I sing. And in some settings, I'll worship while I fellowship. And so can you. Number one reason is to worship. Number two, to build one another up. Number three, are you here today? Let that which he's given be offered. I noticed the last couple of Sundays, kind of become a thing. Most people leave, and I'm glad. Take your fellowship through those double doors. I encourage you, don't be in a hurry to leave. Look around. Find somebody. Overcome your shyness. I get so frustrated. People say, well, I went to such and such a church, and nobody even bothered to approach me. They weren't friendly. Well, there's some things there that could be taught to any church that way. I pray that we're not that way. But I also know that there's a lot of people that the way they look when they go into church, their posture, they're already defensive. They've already got all their defenses built up. They go in that way and they leave that way. My Bible says, he who desires friends must make himself friendly. And shyness, as I said, shouted out a little bit ago, and most of you didn't hear it, shyness is just another form of pride. Get the Holy Ghost in there, he'll drive shyness out with boldness. I know that hit hard for some people. I don't mean to administer condemnation. Please, that's not what I meant. You may be surprised to find out that in certain settings where I don't know anybody and I don't know what's going on, I can get shy. It was my natural, believe it or not, before I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I was super introvert. I'd get home from school, grab a gun, head to the woods. I could care less. I was around me. I didn't want to be around people. I was that way. I didn't even date. I think my dad thought I was a little funny. Kept trying to get me. Because I was just shy, horribly shy, until I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Changed my life. Changed my life. But a natural tendency is to go that way. And I've recognized in me, no pointing fingers, in me, that it has to do with a fear of what people will think about me. And that's born out of pride. And the Holy Spirit can help relax that in you. Trust him. We're doing all right? So, at the end of our service, this is why we do the things that we do. Not because we're trying to be different or because I'm afraid of prayer lines or anything of the nature. We should know. One of the things I've noticed, though, that while we were up here praying for a couple of people, and they continue to worship, I'd notice a little group would gather over here and they'd be praying with somebody. And there'd be another little group over here and they'd be praying with somebody off over in here as we continued on 20 minutes, half hour after service had closed and most people had left. I would love to see a day when this place was full of people, not in a healing line, but on the side walls and out back and wherever we had to go. We've got a room right here that you're welcome to use. The ushers use it. There's a sitting area in there. Come get one of the ushers and say, there's somebody that needs ministering to. Get myself or somebody else if it's something that you feel like. But that's what we're here for. Number one, to worship. Number two, to bless one another. And three, and part and parcel to that, is that service to God. In this process, we break bread together and have communion. Isn't that awesome? Now, I want you to turn to a scripture that you almost never hear around here. Romans 5:17. Everybody there? Up on the screens if you don't have a Bible with you. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one. This is describing what happened to mankind as a result of Adam, sin. As a result of that, death came into the world. How many know that we were not designed for death? You know that they right now do not understand why the human body runs out of gas. Because within it, they know, are the components to live without end. Scientists, I'm talking about secular guys who don't even believe in God. The body is set up in such a way that it should never run out of life. Something greater than our knowledge, greater than our understanding, greater than everything, has caused that time to be limited. That's why for the believer, eternal life that is already within us is so vital. This is why Paul said, if we don't preach the resurrection, our gospel is null and void. The resurrection that we'll experience is not a spiritual resurrection, as the cults would have you believe, but your body will be resurrected. Jesus was resurrected. He was a man of flesh and bone. He visited, ate, talked, was recognized. Thomas, you don't believe? Look at my hands. Thomas, thrusting his hand along his side, fell on his knees, crying, "My Lord, my God." I'm telling you what, the cults have tried to make heaven a spooky place. Oh, it's more real than here. There is a real Bible resurrection coming for those who have eternal life within. Death has already ceased in you who have believed. Live like it. And if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, He will make alive also, in the meantime, your mortal body. I'm very glad for life and health. I'm very glad for life and health. Hallelujah. All right, so, death reigned. Notice that's past tense. Something changed. Romans 17, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. You say, that's unfair. I agree. I don't understand it. But there's something else that is wonderfully unfair as well. Keep reading, for it says, much more, they which receive the abundance of grace, the abundance of grace. If you look at different translations and you go into the original here in the Greek, you will see the term hyper grace. Ironic that the church right now at large is attacking the theme of hyper grace. Don't you be intimidated. The grace that God gives is like no other. It is definitely hyper grace. Watch that stuff. There's always men that want to compare and balance. Listen, there's a lot of messages that need balance, but the gospel doesn't need balance. It needs proclaimed. Preach it. Not preach it, Pastor Lee. No, you preach it. Proclaim the good news. All right? Look at what he says. Much more they which receive the abundance of grace. What is grace? Absolute undeserved favor of God. And the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Come on, all over the room this morning. How many ready to receive? So in all of this purpose of worship, fellowship, serving, throughout all, coming to this place, leaving this place, working through a week. One more hand, hands up all over the room. Hallelujah. I'm a good receiver. Come on, I receive. Say it out loud. I receive abundance of grace. I receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I receive. You can sit there and pretend to study and just resist this raising your hands thing. I don't mean to push or be hard, but sometimes just things just choke us back. Come on, you can be free. Even if you lay your hands on your lap and just turn your palms up, why don't you get involved? Don't be that. Don't do that. Don't do that, 3-year-old. Don't make me. That's not grace. Come on, all over the room. Would you please? I'm a good receiver. Come on, say it out loud. God, you know, I'm so glad that you're not looking at how well I live it or how perfect I am. I'm so glad that I see here that it is a receiver of your grace and the gift of righteousness that will reign in this life. So this morning, come on, say it out loud with me, people. I receive comfort. I receive strength. I receive might of spirit. I receive work of Holy Spirit. I receive your goodness. I receive your healing power. I receive your favor. Come on, shout it out, somebody. I receive your favor in the workplace. I thank you that I received this morning that which was promised of old. Blessed going in, blessed going out, that my baskets are full, that my children will come to know the Lord, that their inheritance will be a house where God is known and God is served. Father, today we receive with everything we got in us today, we receive of your goodness and your grace and your gift of righteousness. Oh, we love you today. Come on, are you here today? Oh, in this place, we just love you and honor you and give you thanks for who you are in us, through us, and for us. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen and amen. Can you receive that today? Come on, isn't that great? Now, this is an exercise that I would encourage you. It won't do much to get the bus rolling if you just do this on Sunday with the preacher pushing you. If you exercise this tomorrow morning, instead of crap, it's okay. Back to work. Roll your feet out on the floor. Speaking, I love that one phrase. My weapon is a melody. What's the other one? I will watch the darkness flee as I sing a little louder. This is what the psalmist exemplified. I shall not die. But this is a song. We quote it as a scripture. I shall not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him, in you, will I trust. Glad for Jesus. that awesome? You start doing that and override, because all that will be there. It's human. You don't even know why. You just get up and you don't even know what happened. You just feel heavy. Stop doing the Pentecostal. I wonder what devil it is. I wonder what spirit it is. I wonder what's happening. I wonder. Why don't you just tell it to shut up and lay down? Stand up and begin to work. Yes, but what if I'm supposed to be praying? The Holy Spirit is not stupid. He's really, really smart. He'll get you there. You worship. And declare some things. Maybe in your declaration, in your overriding of whatever that was, you overrode for somebody else. But you start getting down here and getting spooky, you're going to get yourself into a jam. Ever seen a dog chase its tail? This is what the devil loves to do with Pentecostals. There's what I call fear tongues. Stop. I had somebody correct me one time. There's no such thing as that. When you pray in tongues, that's why. When you're in fear, that's why. No. Let's don't quibble. Let's don't play around. If fear's involved, you're having a hard time. I don't know what's going on there, but it's not good. You need to just stop. Worship God. Then go ahead and pray as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. I'm glad that His perfect love for me has cast out all fear. And that knowledge rises to my understanding as I rehearse His presence through the speaking of His word over my life. How many love Jesus today? You doing all right? That wasn't my message. But it was a message for many of you here today. I want you to know why we do what we do, where we're going with some of these things. And don't be concerned about it. God's moving. He's doing good things. You love Jesus today? Amen. Before we go any further, I want this little redhead sitting in the third row to stand up. 87 years old today. Mamas and grandmas in the faith. Isn't that something? Helen and I, we have a tradition we've made now. Oh, fish fillet, French fries, and an ice cream cone. We try to hit it as often as we can. But I love this gal. Her prayer support, there's many in you in here today. Earl. John. Jim and Steve, who's not with us, would be dead today if he hadn't heard a voice, and this has happened so many times in our ministry. Call me up and say, Pastor Lee, what's going on? I've been praying for you since such and such. Didn't know that Luke was having a severe appendix attack. By the time we got there, it's a long story. Anyway, one time after another, these guys would be dead if just, you say, well, what is my ministry? This little gal just prays, and is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. As you know, her husband, Ed, I see the arm. We should have left that in there. Ed passed away now this next month, 1 year ago. And watch this little gal remain strong. And I'll tell you what, it's been because of people like Olive and Jim that have just been, literally been her right arm, and others. I don't mean to discount any, but they in particular have really lifted this little gal. So we really honor Helen, her ministry, and a mama in the faith. 87 years old today. Can we sing happy birthday? We don't do this for everybody. Can't do this for everybody. But this is a special gal. Would you do that? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Helen. Happy birthday to you. So give this little redhead a hug on her way out. Love you, Helen. Very much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you ready for sure? And many more, you betcha. Young and strong, and they, you betcha. Well, you ready for sermon number two? Yes. If I start now, we'll be here till 1 o'clock. Let me give you a reminder. No, you get ready. Let me give you a reminder of where we're at. I told you I'd try to do this week, but we'd follow the Holy Spirit. And we did. So, Lord willing, next week, one more time, I'm telling the people who listen to this, and they're like, when is he going to ever get to this? Well, it's just the way we function. Aren't you glad? I'm okay with it. I hope you are. I want to talk about, is there a place for obedience now under the new covenant? I think that should be a pretty obvious thing. But there are some things that we need to see in the light of the new covenant, or we will go right back to living the new covenant as if we were still under law. We're going to look at what the root of disobedience is to understand what new covenant obedience is and how vital and important it is in our lives. I'm going to be using, and I would encourage you to go there, because in large part, I've got a number of other things I'm going to add to it, but in large part, I'm going to be using several articles, and I've mentioned this before and saw very few people writing down, this guy's ministry will bless you. I want to encourage you one more time. It's called Escape, www.escapetoreality.org. The guy's name is Paul Ellis. He has some of the most, his insight into where grace applies practically in the everyday life of the believer is, to me, in many ways, there's very few like him. He has a blog that he keeps on. He's a missionary now in Hong Kong. Huh? He's not in Hong Kong anymore? Do you know where he's at? He did make a move, didn't he? I forgot about that. Yeah. The missionary, point being. So you know where his heart's at. Tremendous guy. So you could actually follow along. And the if you were to just type into Google or speak into Google, Paul Ellis, Escape to Reality, and then you could actually add to the back end of that, and you guys are going to be heading back. So you can, I would encourage you to check this guy out. You'll love it. You can just add to the back of that, the root of disobedience. And you can literally, in large part, follow along with where we're going to be. Now, I want to read this to you. It's 11:25, and believe it or not, we're going to dismiss and go home. You ready for that? I don't blame you for the cautious response, but here we go. All right. Here's what he says. Adam disobeyed, so he's saying in quotations, this is what you hear a lot. Adam disobeyed God and suffered the consequences. Jesus has given us a second chance. Don't screw up on it this time. God demands total obedience. The devil will do what he can to make you disobey because he knows that God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. So just do what you're told and obey. Right there is your standard sermon on obedience. Have you heard it before? If you have, you may wonder, how does the love of God figure into this? The preacher of insecurity has a ready answer. Do you remember this? I read this about a month ago. Some of you might remember. If you have, you may wonder, how does the love of God figure into this? The preacher of insecurity has a ready answer. Here's the answer. Heed the words of Jesus. If you love me, you will obey what I command. John 14:15. To love God means to obey his commands. God is to be feared and obeyed. Nope. That sounds scary. That sounds like the love of God hinges on my perfect obedience, and to be honest, I'm not perfectly obedient. Does that mean God won't accept me? Does that mean I'm not truly saved? Bingo. Now the preacher of insecurity has you right where he wants you, sitting on the edge of your seat in mortal terror, ready to swallow whatever list of instructions he has for you today. I become the answer, or at least my message and leadership become the answer to your rise or fall in your daily walk with God. That is a perversion of the gospel and opens the door to control. You don't know how many times I would love to be able to control like that. Think, boy, if I just went back to the way I used to run a church, we could get a lot done. And they do. Big buildings, big places, big movement, worldwide visions, lots of money. They have forsaken the gospel. So there's no glory in being small either. How many know God has something for us to do? I'm not saying, oh, we're this way because we're just holy and the rest of them don't know. That's every little church feels the need to justify why they're little. I'm not justifying anything. We're just preaching the gospel and letting God do what he does. Right. But at the same time, we got to be aware of what's happening. So back to what he says. Now, the preacher of insecurity has you right where he wants you, sitting on the edge of your seat in mortal terror, ready to swallow whatever list of instructions he has for you today. Using fiery rhetoric and chopped up scriptures, he will whip you into an emotional frenzy of promise making. Lord, I'll do everything the Bible says. What happens next? Well, if your flesh is strong, you may be singled out as a walking, talking Christian success story. But if your flesh is weak, you'll be shackled with guilt and condemnation. Either way, pack your bags because we're going on a flesh trip. Such is the life of the insecure believer. What you misdiagnose, you mistreat. That's worth writing down. Having read my little rant, you may think that I'm against obedience. I am not. What I am against is flesh-powered Christianity, which is what obedience usually smells like. To get the right heart of this obedience issue, we need to go back to the beginning, to the Garden of Eden. To get the right answer, we need to ask the right question, and here it is, how did Adam fall? For many years, my answer to the question was, Adam disobeyed. That seems simple enough, doesn't it? God told Adam not to eat, Adam ate, end of story. Only it's not the end of the story, it's not even the right story. Adam's disobedience was not the problem, but rather a symptom of a deeper problem, which is that he did not trust God. In eating the forbidden fruit, Adam declared God to be an untrustworthy liar. How many know that as New Covenant believers, when God says something, we can take it to the bank? I think the biggest struggle in keeping the so-called, and I don't even like to use this term, the so-called grace movement balanced. You don't balance grace. But in keeping the grace movement, whatever that is, kind of a misnomer. I don't even know what that is. Balanced. I think the most important message is, do we trust him? And I think that's where the work needs to be done. Individually, churches, and our different ministries. Do we truly trust him? And the reason that a lot of people don't trust him is because they don't have a clear view of the gospel and what it means. That's why I belabor the point so much, and I will continue to do so. Are you all right with that? Okay. It's not the end of the story. It's not even the right story. Adam's disobedience was not the problem, but rather the symptom of a deeper problem, which is that he did not trust God. In eating the fruit, Adam declared God to be an untrustworthy liar. Through his actions, he was saying, God, I'm better off without you. Big mistake. Big mistake. Disobedience follows distrust. Like us, Adam lived in a world of uncertainty. Like us, he had questions he couldn't answer. Here are Adam's questions. Why did God forbid me to eat from this one particular tree? Number two, what is death? What is this death, he said, would come if I eat from it? Adam was in the dark, and that was the whole point. God purposely set things up that way because he wanted Adam and Eve to trust him. By introducing uncertainty into the world, he was inviting them into a relationship of dependence on him. If there is a lie in the grace movement, that is, I'm under grace, and I can walk this alone. Careful. Church becomes what the church can do for me and how the church fulfills my emotional needs and my activities and programs and plans. And there's nothing wrong with all of those things if they are a byproduct of a healthy, vibrant church. But if you get backwards there and it's not seeking a relationship with God in the process of seeking relationship with those who are of God, you're going to wind up being a very critical, never be able to please, nothing, always pointing the finger. How many know it's easy to be a critic? But how many are glad today that we are in this building, the love of God has been shed? Romans 5:5. Would you say that out loud with me? Let your own ears hear your lips say it. The love of God has been shed abroad. Wow. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Oh, man. If they had trusted him, they would have lived. Indeed, they would have had abundant life. But they chose to distrust and so reap the awful consequences of their decision. How many are glad for Jesus? How many are glad for the grace of God? When I blow it, I qualify more. But how many know that that need not be an excuse for constantly living in defeat? For this process was set up for you to live in victory. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, I was going to turn there, but I told you we were done, so if I turn there, we'll be preaching, so we're going to just want you to look at Isaiah 1:19 verse 20, not right now, write it down, take it home. It says, if you be willing and obedient, remember this from a couple weeks ago, you will eat the good of the land. I said, or rather the word of God, rather God says through his word to you this morning, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of this land. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, walk in these things that I've instructed you. Grace has become, don't give me any instruction, don't tell me what to do, I'm free, this is the way it is. Do you know that the new covenant is full of loving commands? They're not rigid laws, but they are instruction in the word. Ephesians 5, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and God will give you light. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but rather be filled with the Spirit. How? Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody. That is all instruction, commands, if you would, to a new covenant believer who now lives in a new kind of law, born out of and flowing in freedom. But how many know it behooves us to follow that instruction? Because that man, by the Spirit of God, is speaking to a group of people who the Holy Spirit is already speaking inwardly what he is confirming through his word. Isaiah 1:19, that promise still stands true all the way through the work of Jesus to present day. If you're willing, it speaks of a heart attitude. I'm thankful for the grace of God. The real gospel will affect more than anything else, if we're walking in it, our attitude. Would you lift your hands up one more time and say, thank you, Lord. I'm a receiver. And I receive a Holy Ghost. Come on, are you here today? A Holy Ghost attitude about the world around me, about my brothers and sisters, about my situation, about what's happening. Come on, are you hearing me today? He's making us lift our hands up again. He's just making us say, watch that. Whoa, careful. Easy, 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 easy. Easy, easy, easy. That's not grace. That's actually law. Regurgitated. Oh, I'm like a child today. My hands are high and free because of the Holy Spirit within me. And I'm a good receiver, for I will reign in life by this new one, the second Adam. I'm very thankful for Jesus today. And because of this, come on, say it out loud with me. Say it out loud with me. I will eat the good of the land. Paul told Timothy, he said, walk in these things. He said, express these things. He said, so that your prospering may be, check it out, Herb, apparent to all. Let me tell you something. When God begins to prosper you, not everybody around you is going to like it. He's dipping in it somewhere. Wonder what he's up to. Wonder what she's up to. She didn't have that before. I wonder, you just smile. Worship God. Make sure your receiver's wide open as you receive. For my Bible says, and yours does as well, if you're willing and obedient. That's why I want to look at what the devil has robbed us from in the grace message. There is a supernatural obedience born of trust that will cause us to eat of the good of the land so that we may be a blessing as we walk in the blessing. And everybody shouted, amen. Stand to your feet. We are dismissed at 11:35. Ha, ha, ha. The last laugh is on you. Hallelujah. We're going to worship. Let me pray as we're dismissed over you. Let's stand to our feet. Jesus, I thank you for your people here this morning. I thank you for this precious body, for each and every one that is here. I thank you that there are so many people here that are humble enough to just open up and receive your word. And I thank you today that it was promised of old, even before time began, words from eternity past that declare that your word, come on, somebody shout it out this morning, your word will never return void. Come on, one more time. Your word in respect to me, let's make it personal. Your word in respect to me will never, come on, somebody shout it out, never, say it three times, never, never, never return void. It's coming back laden with blessing for me and for those around me. Do you love him today? Yeah. Woo! Father, I thank you today in Jesus' name. Your people are prospered and blessed because of your faithfulness. Would you say it with me today as we go? Great is your faithfulness. Come on, shout it out. Great is your faithfulness to me. Hallelujah. How many are glad for the word of God today? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that this week we won't be able to get away from the sense of your presence. In your goodness, your grace, your strength. Somebody's going to hit, and this sounds so, I mean, this could be anybody. You say stuff like this, and it's like, yeah, well, if you shoot a sawed-off shotgun at a wall, you're going to hit most of it. I understand that, but I really do feel, somebody's going to hit a real point of potential stress. You're picking up on that, aren't you? A real point today. I don't know what it is or exactly what's happening, but somebody in here, in particular, what comes to me is probably a businessman, but you're going to hit a real opportunity to just cave and bail, and the struggle is going to seem to overwhelm. Know ahead of time, right now, you heard this, remember this, rise strong, stand back, and watch the salvation of God in your life. Don't succumb to that. This is a mind game that the enemy will throw at you, but he's a liar, so know it already, and begin to rehearse what you have heard. Your business is not going down. Things are not coming to an end. It is not over. Don't fall for the lie. Stand strong. If you got to say over your business or whatever it is, say, I will not die, but I will live and see the works of God. Are you hearing me today? That may be for my, it's for everybody. In that sense, it is a shotgun, sawed-off shotgun blast at the wall. But there's somebody in here specific. You'll know when you hit. Know this more. The greater one will cause you to rise above. And this too shall come to pass. Come to pass. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you today. Woo! Altars are open. As we continue to worship, let's sing I'm Forgiven.